I look at this, I think, okay. Fred, would you draft it or you sign up? You signed up. Oh, wow. Come on, we have a lot of veterans in here. Next week is Veterans Day celebration, praise God. I know Bob and Joe and Kenny and maybe a lot more veterans in here that I know. But. Huh?
Dan is a veteran.
Dan, yes, of course, yeah. But signed up for the military. When you signed up, we got inducted. But when you signed up, so I'm going to defend my country. I'm going to defend you and I. And let's say he goes on vacation someplace called Vietnam. Okay? And he's over there. And not on vacation. But you think... Do what? Okay. So you think, how would we pray for Fred in the battle? How many would pray, oh God, bring him home. Get him out of there and bring him home, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Get him out of there. I don't care what it takes, Lord. Get him out of that middle of that battle. Right? Right. Amen. And you're wrong. You're wrong.
That's what we want.
For a day. We're all wrong.
Yeah.
Because, let's go back to this. He volunteered. I'm going to defend this country. Okay? So we know what he's doing. If he wanted to be back home here, I mean, he wanted to be here, but he don't want to be where he's at. He never will sign up. It's in his heart. He wants to go where he's needed, okay? And so say, God, just bring Fred home today. Bring him back right now. It's not what God has called Fred to do. He called him to go over there and defend and fight and protect. So we will pray, God, watch over Fred. Keep him strong, Lord. Give him clarity of mind. Send other people around, other warriors around them to get the same heart that Fred has. That he's there to defend and protect God. And doing so, dispatch your angels around them, Lord, to watch over him. Keep him safe, keep him strong, but God, keep him determined. You have caused him to go. So I know he's in your hands, Lord. My heart that Fred comes back. That we share many, many more years together. But God, not his will to be done, but your will to be done, God. Strengthen him, Father. And God, I pray for his family while he's gone. I pray for the provisions. I mean, look what we owe Fred to start with. And when I say Fred, I say, look at the veterans. We owe everything to him.
Amen.
And sometimes we send them off. Because everyone in the military has what they call a blank check. I'll do whatever you can. A blank check is up to, including taking my life. How much more do we owe their families? Amen. Amen, guys. Your families, we owe a great debt. Because they're back here. They're struggling. If you ever had someone in the military to start with, you never. They might get a day off over there where they're at. You might get a chance to go to the, I don't know, furlough, you call them. Is that what you call them, furlough? Okay. You might get that just to relax for a day. But back here, you don't. Your mind is always. You always see your loved one in the middle of the biggest battle there is, even if they're getting kicked back today and have chips and watching a football game. So the family needs encouragement. The family needs to be prayed with. They need to be helped. You know, and just congregation, guys, you've done that in the past. We have helped people. We've got food and given to families who military people are serving for us. But we got to look at, okay, Fred wanted to go there. He was determined to go. So let's pray for his strength. I know a lot of times we pray, oh God, bring him back home. Get him out of there right now. And folks, that's our hearts. Amen. Nothing wrong. I mean, when I said that you're wrong, I don't mean you're wrong. You follow me on that? That's our hearts. We want him to come home, right? We want him to come back to us, okay? We want him to be safe. That's what we want, God. Because when you look at Fred, some of you are looking at a little boy you raised. You saw him on a teeter-totter. You saw him how start riding a bicycle. Maybe borrowed your car for the first date. You know, whatever. And we want him back here. Back here where we can watch him and protect him. But there's a calling on each one of our lives that God's given us. And when we answer that call, we need to be obedient to it. But we need to pray for one to be strong. To be able to accomplish it. Because we have to realize that our bodies... or just a vessel that God is working through us with. that this body someday will be laid down, but this spirit will be released. This spirit will never die. Okay? And a lot of lives will be impacted because of your spirit of God occupying your body. So we must learn how to pray victoriously and pray the way that God will want us to pray. Thanks, Fred. I might bring it back up later, but... Because I know a lot of times, and myself included, when you say, oh man, and Bob's over in Taiwan, he's in prison for just sharing the gospel. God, get him out of there. Calls his guards to open the door, get electrocuted, and he'll walk free, and he'll come back to us. Isn't that our heart at times? I mean, it's mine at times. I mean, to be honest with you, I want him back. But boy, it's hard to say, isn't it, Mike? Thy will be done, and not my will. And so it takes a lot of concentration at times. You know, people ask me, hey, pastors, pray for me this week. Okay. How do you want me to pray? I want to make sure that I know how you want me to pray. You need strength, you need wisdom, you need guidance, you need restraint from thumping somebody. And the only way to know is to act, right? Just act. And we see our brothers and sisters right now in chain, and how do we pray for them? Well, I want to look at a scripture of a brother of ours who kind of knew a little bit about prison. And his name was Paul. Everybody remember Brother Paul?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I'll be in... Well, do you remember hearing of him? Okay, thank you. You beat me to the punchline. Yeah. But Acts chapter 16...
What?
I'm going to start reading from verse 22 in chapter 16, but I'm going to just paraphrase a little bit before we get there. I'm in chapter 16 of Acts. But what has taken place is Paul and Silas are just out there spreading the gospel like Jesus called them to do. And they seen this fellow, this lady, being tormented. She was being used for witchcraft. She was a fortune teller, and she was owned by a person. And she would follow Paul and Silas around all the time and say something like, men of God! Man of God! I mean, can you imagine right now if every time I get ready to say something, Fred yells out, man of God! Try that, Fred. Now, Jesus said, Jesus said, if you just, come! Now, think, that's awesome. Fred's been set free, right? Amen. Praise God. But you know, Dan, you own Fred. And you was making money by telling fortunes. And now what happened? I just took away your paycheck. How happy are you going to be? You're not a man of God. We're not talking about being a man of God. You're going to be upset. Oh, I tell you what. Employment the way it is anyway. And I had a job and now I lost it. So, Dan goes to the city council. I'm telling you what. I lost my job. Well, what happened? Well, them Christian guys came along, cast that demon out of her. I can't make a buck anymore. If I can't make a buck, I can't pay you any taxes, can I? Get somebody motivated. Go for the money. So they go out and they have Paul and Silas is arrested. But just, man, do you think it'd be rejoicing? People would be, oh. But he's arrested and thrown in jail. And they were beaten. Wow. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, what would go through the head of one there? I mean, they're rooted well in Christ, don't get me wrong. But say, man, we're just trying to help that lady out. Do you ever do something nice for somebody that God wanted you to do and other people get upset? Yeah, don't they? I mean, they do. They're not thinking about the other person. Nothing. Oh, that person been set free. Oh, wow. No, it's always me, me, me. Outside of the Christian faith. So Paul and Silas find themselves in jail. I can see them saying, huh? They're tied down. Hey, Silas. Yeah, Paul. Can you believe it? We set somebody free and now we're in prison? Oh, I wish folks would understand. And in verse 22 in chapter 16, it says, so the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. To be beaten with rods. I wonder, right before the first stripe came down, what would happen? Paul said, hey, get back in her. Get back in her. I changed my mind. Wow. Just think, man, I'm going to get beat for what I just did. Well, if they don't respect that, God just called Satan to go back in there, Fred. But they didn't do that, did they? Now, I stopped there for a second because sometimes in our lives, guys, you're going to do things for people, and you're going to do because Jesus said to do them. You're going to be obedient to the Word, and people are going to mock you. They're going to turn away from you. They're going to speak ill about you. But folks, may your hearts never get to the point that you get hardened with that, man, I wish I'd never done that. Don't ever let your heart get that way, amen? And because you've done what the Master called. He has a plan. Okay, and as we do what He says to do, we do as He's called to do, we follow His Word, we know that His plan will work out. You know, I see Paul and Silas saying, okay, well, it didn't work out the way we thought it would be today. But Silas still there, yep. Okay, well, one thing about our God, you can never figure out what He's going to do, but just be obedient. Yep. But they took their rods, and they started beating them. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, the inner prison is worse. You think, well, prison is a prison, but the inner part of this prison is where all the stench is, all the stink is. And if you're lucky to be in prison, you got a little window there, you might get a breath of fresh air. But when you're in the inner prison and you're shackled down, you get all the stinky stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because in these days, there's no flush toilets. If you understand what I'm saying? Anything that comes in, comes back out, but in a different format. Okay? So they hated these people. Somehow this jailer put them in the center of the prison and they fastened their feet in the stocks so they can't move. But so about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Think of that. They listened to them. So the other prisoners were listening to them. You can sit right back here. It'll be easy for you. And they were listening to them. What were they thinking, number one? They're in the worst part of the prison. Been beaten. And they're singing. Now these other guys have been in there for a while. Got probably accustomed to prison life, I would say. And here they hear this noise. And it's not too bad. They hear this songs right now being sung instead of people screaming. Not being tortured right now. But they sing praise to God. And suddenly there came a great earthquake. Man, the walls started to shake. Think of that. And probably some of the bricks started coming down. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Now you think, wow. You get excited, wouldn't you? But how many people right then in that prison would say, shut up! Shut up, Mike! Wow, one more break. Shut up! And Paul says, we will praise the Lord. More bricks. Quit it! Shut up! We're in there! I mean, this is prison. It's like living in hell. But at least we're alive right now. You know what I'm saying? And then bricks are coming down. You're trying to kill us? See how quickly they're in prison. They went out of prison, okay? They're tired of it. They're tired of all the rats running around. They're tired of all the dung in the place, okay? They want free, but when they start shaking the wall, man, we'd rather stay where we're at in the stink and be alive than have their bricks pull on us. Wow. How quickly our environments can change to an area we start maybe appreciating it. We think we do. We become accustomed to it. We don't like where we're at. But we're not sure where we're going. So I'm going to stay right here. Kind of like this morning hearing this preacher. Some of you heard this before. It's not quite like I heard it before. Where's he going? I'll tell you where I'm going to go. We're going to go to the next verse. And so the foundation of the prison house were shaken. Wow. You see it, Kenny? They're shaking. Bricks are coming down. Oh, Paul and Silas still just praising. Oh, we will praise the Lord. Stop! 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 And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's chains were unfastened.
Hallelujah.
Now, can you imagine? Here you are. You're sitting there as a prisoner. And you're complaining. Shut up! This is different! I'm scared! Man, I'm scared! Oh, shut me! They keep... And all of a sudden... Paul and Silas stay true to God and they praise him no matter where he's at. And next thing you know, the doors pop up and the doors that were secured, the door that could not come through, all of a sudden popped open. And the shackles released on them and the prisoners.
Cool.
They're set free. It was scary before they got there.
Yeah.
Before they got to the point, those that don't know God, they were scared. But Paul and Silas knew they're going to make a difference. Is to praise Him. And the difference will be their peace, their joy will continue on. They weren't praising Him to be set free out of that prison. They knew that God put them in there. God had control and allowed them to come in there. And God can bring them back out again. He knew that they were carried in there. And God could cause them to walk back out of there. Or they can be carried back out. They didn't care. We will praise the Lord. And they continued on. Wow. So, what would happen? What would happen if we get word in the church? Mike, Paul and Silas in prison, man. We got to do something. Man, they're in prison, guys. Don't we have to do something? Kenny goes, I know what we do, Pastor. We'll get Carol White to bake one of her chocolate cakes. Yep. We'll have Fred bring a file in and put that file on that cake. And we'll take the cake to Paul and Silas. We're going to lie and say it's Silas' birthday, okay? And we'll get that cake into him. Then they'll get that file, and they start, and then about midnight, when everybody's sleeping, they can lay down a couple pieces of that iron, step out. And be free! Wow. That's the flesh in us. Paul and Silas would not ask us to bake a cake, to get me a file. They said, pray for us. Pray that we'll continue in the faith. Pray that we'll be strengthened. Pray that we'll bring God glory and honor. Oh, pray for my captors, somebody said that earlier. Then what happened? The wall shook. The doors came open. The shackles were set free. And Paul and Silas ran out the door, went down to the local Tim Hortons, and had coffee. You know what happened? Listen to verse 27. This is really important, I'm telling you. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. He's going to get even with them guys, ain't he? He pulled his sword out. And just about ready to kill himself. Oh, the Bible says don't repay evil with evil. And just before, why are you going to kill himself? Because he was responsible for them prisoners. And they took it really serious. Back in them days, if somebody escaped on you, they killed you. I say, man, we don't do that anymore, do we? Glad one escaped on me in 1978. And praise God that they changed the law a little bit. About ready to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Okay. So remember, the foul came in, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas escaped earlier. They walked out. The jailer came in, seen him gone, and he killed himself. Then when the jailer killed himself, he had no faith in God. So he's in hell.
Right.
But just before the jailer killed himself, Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Yeah. Woo! And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Yeah.
Wow. Then him and his household were saved. Think of that. Thy will be done. Now, that is, that's a lot of faith in God's word, Mike, ain't it? Knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what He called us, because I'm telling you what, until you're there, I'd be running out the door. I mean, he's saying, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." Running out there. Now, let me say this. If that ever happened to you, and the doors came open, God might tell you, "Hey, get out." Amen?
He might.
He might say, "Okay, run. I'll set you free. It's not your time yet." Amen? Yes. So we have to remember that. Let's go back to a guy named Peter. You guys remember Peter? I heard of him. I caught you before he said it. Man, they're out preaching. And they're taking the custody in James. James is put to death. And it's getting close to the weekend. Okay, hang on to Peter. Put him in jail, and first of the week, we'll bring him out and we'll execute him. Amen? Everybody familiar with that? So Peter's in jail. And it says that the church gathered, and they were praying for Peter. And if Peter chained, he said that an angel of the Lord came into that jail cell, opened the doors up, the chains fell off, and the angel of the Lord led Peter out. Let him out. In fact, he ended up going to church. He was in the house. And he knocked on the door. And a little girl came to the door. "Peter!" He ran in and told the rest of the congregation, "Hey, Peter's out there. Peter's out there. Oh man, our prayers have been answered." They say, "Oh, you're nuts." We were praying, but we didn't really believe in it. They went to the door and there was Peter. And you think, wow. What was the difference? Why wasn't Peter put to death? And James was. Could be several things. But it could have it been that the church wasn't praying yet. It could have been. Maybe they didn't take it quite serious. Or maybe they were taking off. Maybe James was taken in custody and killed before they even thought about it. Maybe in the morning, when James and Peter went out sharing the gospel, the church stayed in bed a little longer and kept sleeping. Instead of getting up and saying, "Oh, Lord, watch over Peter and Paul and James today. God, give them clarity of steps. Strengthen them, Lord. Oh, may your word return back to them. Oh, let them just have a victory today, God. Put your angel around them and protect them. Keep them from harm." See, even though I might open my mouth up, it's people around me that's praying for my strength and my protection. And as we pray God's word, His will shall be done. I can't tell you why one person dies and one doesn't. I just know I believe in the word of God. And I'll speak His word and I'll honor His word. And I'll do whatever I can not to influence it wrongly. But God shall be God. Jesus. Look at Him. And the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, it was right after the apostles kept falling asleep. "Come on up here with me. Let's pray for a couple hours." Man, Jesus gets up and starts praying. The church falls asleep, you know. Here comes Jesus come down the hill. "And guys, God said, it kind of woke him up a little bit, you know. He said, why are the preachers yelling in church? Because somebody's dozing off. But then what happens? He walks away. They fall back to sleep. Comes back and wakes him up. Finally enters the garden. And here comes Judas, bringing all the Roman soldiers up with him. They come up and start to grab a hold of Jesus to arrest him. And right away, Peter grabs a sword out and cuts off one of the Romans' ears. And Jesus says, hey, put that sword away. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And what he was trying to say, hey, listen, if our first reaction is in the flesh, we're doing all wrong. First of all, inquire of God. God, what do you want me to do? There's time to protect yourself. Amen? Hear me, guys. Don't get misconstrued on this. Yes. But God's will be done. And Jesus says this. He said, Bob, don't you think I can call down 12 legions of angels? Couldn't I call down 30 or 40,000 angels to come down and release me, to protect me? But he says, you know, not my will be done, but Father, your will be done. And then he went to the cross and laid his life down for us. Just think. Wow. When Peter interfered, if the Romans took off and Christ never went to the cross, never laid his life down for us, we'd still be sacrificing goats and chickens and still wouldn't have our sins forgiven yet. Wow. It's easy to look back and see why people did what they did now, right? Amen?
Right.
That way we can look forward and see how we need to react. Thy will be done. And that's the most important part. He's called us to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we sold out to Him, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? This isn't my home. Those brothers and sisters of ours who are in chains right now around the world, that's not their home either. He said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and cast a soul into hell. Because these bodies are only temporary. Now, that torturing, I don't want to go through it. I'm not. But I pray that I'll have strength. If that would ever come, that I give God the glory. And just like, how do you get prepared that way? Through prayer, fasting, and staying in the Word of God. These things are coming, you know. And we just need to be strong. Like our military people here, you all went through a boot camp and you had to get familiar with the enemy, how they operated, what happened if you're taken to captivity. You know, if you're a prisoner, I don't know, they tell me that you have an order, but if you're ever taken prisoner, you have a direct order to try to escape. Is that correct? Okay. That you need to keep on. They're saying, you can't lay down. If you get taken captive in a war, don't go golfing and lose where you're at. Okay. If you're in one of them prison camps, okay. If they're feeding you steak and potatoes, okay, well, eat. But don't get comfortable. You have an assignment and a pledge to your government to escape, to continue on taking down the enemy. And put together where we are. Don't matter where we're at. Soldiers of Christ, we still have that obligation to take down the enemy. And how do we take down the enemy? By winning the vessel that he's using to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we do that through our actions. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Paul is awesome. I mean, whew. But then he goes on. And Paul ended up being shipwrecked and all kind of stuff goes on. And, I mean, can you imagine living his life? You get over one hurdle, and back down in chains again. Get over another one, back down. But he sold out to Christ, you know? And look at the victory and victories that have come because of what Paul has done, Peter, Jesus. And look at yourselves. Look at the victory that the Master's done in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. And look at the blessings that He's used you for already. Look at lives that you've changed. I haven't changed any lives. I don't know. Have you ever let somebody have a parking spot in front of you? Wow, Wow, they're not used to that. Have you ever had an opportunity to pray of someone? Praise God. Have you ever led anybody to Jesus? Have you ever called someone to accept Christ as their Savior and Lord? You say, well, no, Pastor, I never prayed to anyone. But you have. It just wasn't your voice. Mm-hmm. You know, through ministry, through prayer. Man, anytime one of us here in the assembly leads someone to Christ, we all have a part of that. Do you know that? Yes, amen. So don't get so down on yourself. God is also, it was our privilege this morning to come together and pray. Pray for the persecuted church. And we got a few things how to list. So what I would like to do, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to lead the prayer, not because I'm somebody special, but we got some different notes. Everything I said, we kind of listed here on paper. If you would pray in agreement with me, you know. And then as what I have, we have come up with, as we're done, if God lays something on your heart to pray for something different or another way, just feel free to say, hey, Pastor, also, because we are the body of Christ, right? I'm not. We are. And so, if y'all will join in with me now to pray, just be in agreement. You say, well, how do I pray in agreement? Well, I say something, or my wife says something. If you feel like saying, yes, amen, Lord, or however you want to agree, or just in your spirit, yes. Because this is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. So, are we ready? All right. Well, Father, it's our privilege to come together with our brothers and sisters this morning around the world to lift up those right now, God. Here in this assembly, but also those around the world who are in chains, who are being persecuted, tortured right now, God, because of your word. And God, I know that your word was given to us. Oh, to help the hurting. To find the lost, to bring them in, Father God, more and more and to your presence. So, Father, today we pray for strength, God, from you today to protect and encourage our brothers and sisters, Lord. May they feel your presence right now, Lord. God, it's not hard in the middle of midnight to get kind of weak. Do you think, man, did I really hear the word of God? Am I really following what you said to do? So God, we just pray today that they're uplifted, that your word will continue to return back to them. And God, that they may see the differences in that jail cell they're in right now, Lord. They see maybe some green grass growing in the comments of their captors. That they're seeing that you're penetrating into their hearts, Lord. That they may be encouraged today, God. God, we just pray for the protection over the frontline workers who share the gospel and restricted and in the hostile nations, Lord. God, we are so blessed in America, thanks to Jesus Christ and thanks to our brave men and women of our military, God, that we can gather here this morning, God, and open and praise you and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and God to intercede. But man, it's not like that everywhere, God. Some right now are hiding in a basement, Lord. They do have that little candlelight trying to share maybe half a page of scripture that they found somewhere, Lord. So we just pray for their protection, their encouragement, God. They continue to be strong in your word, Lord, and they continue to be brave men and women, God. They will see the victories that you're causing to take place through them. And Father, we pray for the Christians' families and the members who have been killed for living out their faith. God, we pray that they will know more of God's sustaining power and comfort, Lord. And we pray that their hearts will not grow cold, God, because it's easy. It's easy, Lord, to get tripped up when things doesn't go the way we plan, Lord. Oh, God, what's happening? What happened? Did you walk away from me? Lord, I think at times John the Baptist and his family, I think, did their hearts get cold for momentarily when John, knowing that he was going to be used by Christ and knowing he was serving with the Lord and, man, being obedient to the Lord, next thing you know, he's in prison. And as they prayed, his head was removed, Lord. But God, it was you must increase and John had to decrease. But you saw, God, that you took John home to his reward. So we pray for our brothers and sisters, God, whose loved ones have been slain for the cause of Jesus Christ. That, God, their hearts be soft and they would be rejoicing. Oh, my loved ones in heaven and I'll be coming soon. God, we pray that government officials who oppose to the gospel will come to know Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray that the light of yours will shine into the darkest hours of their lives. And just like that jailer, Father, we saw on the video, Lord, all this torture and hatred he had towards Jesus and towards his people, it started penetrating his heart. It started to make a difference. And God, I just pray today that we may continue to live triumphantly to your word, representing Jesus. They will cause the hardness of men and women in our government, Father, and in governments around the world to be softened, Lord. And God, we pray that Christian converts from Islam will be bold and full of courage when sharing their newfound faith. Oh, Lord, they can be put to death just for coming to Jesus. And Father, may they be made strengthened today, knowing that when they receive Christ, they sold out to you, Jesus, that's all they need. That's all they need. And may they be motivated, God, to share that gospel with their loved ones. We pray for provisions and safety, delivery of Bibles to believers in hostile and restricted nations, Lord. We pray for the enemy of the cross, Father, from the Bible to come across the borders. And God, you've done it time and time again, that the enemy would come blind to the awareness of the Bibles, Lord. You snuck millions of Bibles in, God, right under their noses, and they don't see it, Lord. And God, that Bible, your word, God, is our weapon. And so maybe we get more and more weapons to the hands of believers around the world. And God, we just pray today that you enable the persecuted Christians to witness for you, even to their persecutors, Lord. God, and as the pastor said in the video, Lord, that they will hate the sin, but not the sinner. Oh, they recognize this evil behind them that's doing this, and that you do have a love for even our enemies, God. And may that love be in us, God, that we will be able to pray for those who persecute us and not cast them down. We pray that Christians, Father, ourselves in these free nations, will remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated. And God, since you yourselves are in the body also, God, that we'll recognize that we're with them, Lord. Oh, Father, it's so easy for us to rejoice in the freedom we have and not recognize the price others are paying for it. God, we do that here in America. We rejoice in the freedom that we are secured through your hand and through the hand of our veterans. And Lord, we don't even respect them. Some don't, Father. They don't recognize the hardships. And Father, I think at times, just because they served 2 years, now they're back here, that it's all over with. But God, many of them carry that battle they fought the rest of their lives, Lord. And our brothers and sisters, God, who are being persecuted, feel the same way. They are released. They come back home, God, but they still carry that torture in their minds. So we pray for their minds right now, Lord. Yeah. Oh, God, their mind be set free, cleared up, Father God, that they will see the rewards of souls in heaven, God. And that will take away the pain and agony, Lord. Oh, God, we just pray for forgiveness of ourselves this morning as your church, Father God, for falling short at times in our prayer life, Father. Oh, Lord, we feel upset because we don't have an air conditioner working in the church, so we're not coming to church. Oh, we've been there, Lord. Oh, the church has fought over the collar of the carpet, what kind of chairs to have. Oh, Lord, forgive us of the body, Lord. God, may our eyes continue to be focused on the real cause that you've given us. And that's a new life through your blood and a purpose to share that life with others, God. Oh, may we never, ever feel comfortable in this world. May we always feel our eyes towards you, God. Willing and just waiting, God, for your return, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for the privilege you've given us this morning to share this and to intercede for our brothers and sisters. And God, we said this earlier, Lord, not your will, not our will, but your will be done, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.